Good morning. I'd like to take a moment and thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning. Today we're talking about something near and dear to all of us, authentic Christianity. That is, in that song that we just sang about being true to the Lord. Our text this morning is found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, if you want to be turning there. I'd like to thank everyone who's come out this morning to worship the Lord. Thank you for the songs, Glennon, and appreciate the words and thoughts there, and I appreciate Kyle's thoughts at the table. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And some of the things that he speaks to us, we've perhaps heard before, or perhaps we've had even lessons or sermons on this. But today I want to think about it in a little bit different light, a little bit different context. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Many times you think about this word authentic, and you're like, oh, I remember that authentic thing that you saw, perhaps that was antique, or perhaps this authentic gun or authentic World War II, fill in the blank, or a Civil War sword that's authentic, or perhaps a Roman shield, the authentic type, and you're like, wow, that's amazing. It's for real. It's genuine. It's original. Perhaps you see a piece of artwork that's original, a Rembrandt or some other famous sculptor or painter, and you're like, that's the real deal. That's amazing to see it in person. When you think of this idea of authentic, what do you think about? The original, the blueprint, the pattern to imitate. Now, concerning spiritual things, it becomes very simple. Jesus is the one who we are to imitate. He's the real thing. He's authentic. He's our blueprint, our pattern to follow after. If we are authentic, Jesus changes us from the inside to reflect him, to imitate Jesus and his character in our mind and in our thinking. And if we are true disciples, if we are authentic followers of Christ, let's turn to Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. Jesus is teaching here, and he says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master." You see, we don't get to teach Jesus what we want. It's the other way around. Jesus teaches us what he wants. We are to imitate him and his character. And we as servants are not above our master. Luke chapter 6, verse 40 adds this: "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." If you want to be a disciple of Christ, if you want to be fully trained, if you want to know what the epitome of Christianity is, it's Jesus. It's imitating him. It's being like him. And when you are fully trained, the character of Jesus Christ will be embedded in your mind and in your heart. And you will act like Jesus did out of love, out of compassion. You will be helping people with their spiritual walk. You will be teaching them about Jesus to become like him. To be fully trained as a disciple is to be authentic, genuine, true disciple of Christ. A disciple, at its core, the definition of a disciple is one who is a learner, one who learns from Jesus in the spiritual context or the biblical context. Jesus, the master and our teacher. If you learn from the very best, if you learn the very core of what you're to do in this walk of life, this manual that we're given, this Bible, it all points to Jesus as our master and our teacher to train us in the way we ought to go, to train us in the way we ought to think, and to train us what life really is about. We are like a hired servant. You might say, well, how am I a hired servant? Well, we're a servant just like Jesus was a servant, serving our master, Jesus Christ. We are not above Jesus, our master. Many say, well, the Lord spoke to me, and I can do things outside of Scripture because I'm authorized or because God told me to. Well, that's going beyond what Jesus teaches. And that's not abiding in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. When I do what I want to do, when I put my will in place of Jesus' will, then I am putting myself above the Master. And Jesus said, it is not so. You are not above your Master. You are the learner. In both cases, a disciple and a hired servant, both require submission to the master, a mental decision to follow Jesus, a mental decision to be a servant of the Most High God requires submission. Not my will, but thy will be done. That was Jesus' heart. That was Jesus' mindset, putting God's will first. Then we apply Jesus' teaching and his instruction in our lives. That's how we become authentic. That's how we change from the inside. Luke chapter 6, verse 40 indicates everyone who is fully trained must become like his teacher. It's a requirement. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, John says this, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Keeping God's word, keeping Jesus' teaching, then truly the love of God is perfected in us. It is made complete. It is thoroughly teaching our soul and our mind how to be like Christ and his character. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, continuing in that same passage, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way that he walked. You want to be a disciple of Jesus. You want to love him and show your devotion to him. Then you must walk in the same way that Jesus walked. Jesus was always patient. Jesus was always kind. Jesus was always compassionate. Jesus always tried to help people. Jesus always tried to teach people where they were and how to become faithful to God. Jesus did all of these things and many more. Help people in their infirmity. Help people in their weakness. Help people that were downtrodden. Help people that were cast out by society and canceled by their culture. Jesus went to them and found them and helped them and brought them back to God because he loved those kinds of people. If we want to be an authentic disciple, we have to walk like Jesus walked and taught and teach like Jesus taught. I ask you this question, do you become more like Jesus every day? Do you control your tongue? Do you control your anger? Do you control your thoughts? If you do not have control, then you cannot walk in the same way that Jesus walked. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Some may say, well, I've never seen Jesus. I've seen some statue or some image of Jesus, but I've never actually seen him. Jesus said, if you know me, you know the Father. If you follow in my ways, then you know me. If you practice the words that I teach, then you are with Jesus and he is with you. Now you might say, well, seeing is believing, and Jesus taught, well, we walk by faith and not by sight. But if you want to know who Jesus is, then get to know him in Scripture. Get to know him in prayer. Get to know him by meditating and thinking on his word. If you live more and more like Jesus, the world will begin to change how they treat you. You might say, what do you mean by that? Well, persecution. Matthew 10, 24 through 25, Jesus spoke about this. Matthew 10, verse 24, we read a little bit earlier, but 25 goes on. Matthew 10, 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more shall they malign those of his household? Those people in the Jewish nation, they thought Jesus was from the house of Beelzebub, that he taught evil things. And they treated his disciples just like demons. And they maligned them. They spoke evil of them. And so will the world speak evil of us who are trying to be authentic disciples, following in the steps of Jesus. What is the price of discipleship? First of all, be content. That's a powerful, powerful message. Be content with who you are, not the evil of the world, but be content to be a disciple of Christ. Don't lust or long for the things of this world that we just sang about in that song, the earthly wealth or fame or honor of men. We don't long for those things. We have to be content to be a disciple of Christ, a humble servant, one who walks in the steps of Jesus. Jesus didn't want any of those things. And we are not above our master. Another example is Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, we learn Stephen was a preacher of the gospel. One of his sermons is recorded there in Acts chapter 7. In fact, one of his only sermons. At the end of the sermon, the Jews became very angry, and it says they ground their teeth at him, gnashing their teeth. And they became so angry that they cast him out of the city, and then they started stoning him. And as he was dying, he saw Jesus up in heaven sitting at the right hand of the throne of power, and one of the most powerful witnesses that Jesus is God was Stephen, who saw him as he died and saw Jesus and relayed to us a powerful message. Jesus really is who he says he is. Jesus really is authentic. Jesus really is God. He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And they stone him to death. This Stephen, who was a disciple of Christ, this Stephen, who was a preacher, this Stephen, who followed after Jesus, they killed him. But he didn't fear death. He didn't fear being mistreated. He didn't fear being stoned to death by a bunch of Jews. He didn't fear their anger. He didn't fear what they would do to him. Stephen stood firm in his faith to the very end. And what a powerful statement of what an authentic disciple looks like and how an authentic disciple behaves. Even to the point of death, he was faithful and gave witness and said, "Don't hold this sin against them, O Lord," as he died from them stoning and killing him for his faith. I hope and pray all of us have that kind of faith. I hope and pray all of us are that type of authentic disciple like Stephen was. How far are you willing to go with your faith? Will you be like Jesus? Will you be like Stephen? Are you willing to die for your faith? Jesus was. Stephen was. The question is, are you? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul speaking here, he says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." You see, Paul is telling us, if you want to know him, if you want to know who Jesus is, then you have to be willing to share in his sufferings. If you want to know the power of Jesus' resurrection, if you want to share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you must be willing to suffer for your faith. It is a true test of your authenticity as a disciple of Jesus Christ if you're willing to suffer, if you're willing to remain faithful even when persecuted, if you're willing to remain authentic as a disciple in your faith even as you face death or you face some suffering that is bitter, is harsh, even if you face mistreatment by others like Stephen and Jesus did, they remain steadfast in their faith, just like Paul did. If you want to know his resurrection, if you want to understand its power, get to know Jesus. Be that authentic disciple. Are you willing to walk away from your job if it goes contrary to the teachings of the Bible? What about your family? Are you willing to turn your back on your family to teach Jesus and remain faithful? I've told the story before. A 12-year-old boy had to make that decision. You see, his family told him, "If you become a Christian, you are no longer our child." This happened in India, a true story. You know what that young man did at 12 years of age? He became a Christian. He turned his back on his family and he decided to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. He decided to be baptized and to put on Christ. He gave up his family ties. And he became an orphan from that point forward. They no longer would take care of him at 12 years of age. I'm amazed by that story. And I tell you it's true. Now other Christians helped that child and took him in. But he had to give up his family, his mother, his father, his siblings, just to become a Christian. Are you willing to make that kind of sacrifice? What about your friends? Are you willing to give up friends who tell you that there is no God? Tell you that your faith in some mythic fable in the Bible is false? Are you willing to walk away from those friends and say, "You know what? I can't be your friend anymore. I'd rather be a friend with Jesus. I'd rather put my faith in him, my trust in him, the one who's going to save me," versus some friend that doesn't care about Christ. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. Jesus says this, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours." If you teach others if you show what an authentic disciple really is, others will follow you. Others will learn from your example and want to be like Christ. You want proof? Well, Paul suffered persecution. Paul said, imitate me even as I imitate Christ. And you know what? Paul had a great influence on many of us in this room because he was an authentic disciple, standing firm in his faith. And Jesus calls upon us to be that kind of disciple like Paul, to be an influence on others, to show them, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, that you are an authentic disciple, one who's devoted themselves to Christ even when they're persecuted. Do you look like the world? Do you act like your coworkers or friends? Do you think that your lifestyle is one that Christ would lead? What about your prayer life? Do you urgently pray for opportunities to share the gospel with others? Do you pray for those around you that they would obey Jesus and obey the gospel? Do you show love and compassion toward them? Do you show patience and forgiveness and kindness even when they mistreat you? You see, that's the kind of authentic discipleship that changes people, that shows them your good works, that teaches them about Jesus. They may not understand your words, they may not fully comprehend what the Bible says, but your actions have a great influence on them. When you love them, show them compassion, show them kindness, even when they've spoke to you in harsh ways, or mistreated you, or persecuted you even. The gospel has that kind of power beyond our comprehension. In churches that grow today, every member is authentic and active. You want to know what the number one reason why people won't join the church? Hypocrisy. You want to know the number one reason why people didn't want to become Jews? Hypocrisy. You want to know one of the criticisms that Jesus had of the Jewish leaders? Hypocrisy. They weren't authentic in their faith. They didn't hold these truths to be self-evident, that we were created by God, that we have certain inalienable rights given to us by our Creator, that God gave us life and liberty, that God gives us the power of the gospel, that God gave us our soul, God gave us the knowledge of love. God gave us all of these wonderful gifts, kindness, joy, that we can share it with others. Active churches today that are full of authentic Christians, they all look for and pray for opportunities to share the gospel. Are you all about sharing Jesus? Maybe you're just coasting. Maybe you just set things on autopilot. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, I come to church on Sunday and Wednesday, and I do my Bible study. Maybe I pray once in a while. I'm on autopilot. I'm just coasting along to see what I can get by with. Just do the minimum. Or do you focus intently? Do you purposely decide, I'm going to grow spiritually? I'm going to study my Bible. I'm going to internalize it and memorize Scripture. I'm going to think upon and meditate on God's Word and how I can change and be more like Christ, be more like biblical characters. I hope you're the latter. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." But what if that salt loses its flavor? How can it be made salty again? You can see Jesus' parable there with the salt, right? Authentic salt is tasty, right? You put it on your food and it makes it taste good. It adds flavor. It's enriching. You as a Christian are the salt of the earth. If you've lost your saltiness, if you've lost that passion, that fervor, that zeal for Christ, you've lost your saltiness. Your authenticity is in question. Perhaps you've even had hypocrisy. Perhaps you've done things you know you shouldn't do, and people have seen it. People have observed it. You've acted in a certain way or done things you know you shouldn't do. You weren't authentic in your faith. Have you lost your taste for loving Jesus and converting others to him? Do you become more like the world each day, or do you become more like Christ each day? If you've lost your taste, either turn to Jesus or you'll be thrown out. That's what Jesus said. Either you turn to me and you're with me, or you're against me. Those are the only two choices you have to make each day. Salt that loses its flavor in the days of the New Testament. In the times of Rome, if it lost its flavor, it was thrown out. You know why? You know what salt does when you cast it out? It kills everything around it. Plants cannot grow in the walkways where salt was cast out, and people mashed it into the ground. Rain would make that salt dissipate into the soil, and like the Dead Sea, nothing grows there. Why? That's the power of salt that's lost its flavor. It's still very potent, though. You still have influence on people, even though you've lost your taste for following Jesus. It's still very potent, and it poisons everyone around you. You say, "I'm an authentic Christian," yet they find you a hypocrite. You say, "I'm an authentic disciple, I follow Jesus," but you do your own will. It has a very negative influence on those around you. It's powerful, it's potent. It destroys people's trust in you. It eliminates your influence over them to do what is right, to be truthful and honest. When that trust is broken, when that hypocrisy is uncovered, it has a catastrophic effect on people around you. Jesus wants you to be authentic. He wants you to choose to serve him. If people see your heart, who you truly are, does it reflect the character of Jesus? Do people want the peace that you have with God? Is that something that they seek out? Do they perceive that there's just something different about you? You're at peace. You know where you're going, heaven. You know what your purpose is in life, serving Christ, being a Christian and helping others. Do people want that? Do they ask you about your Christianity? Do they ask you, why do you follow that Jesus? Why do you make your life patterned after the Bible? Why? Do people see your kindness and compassion and living authentically as a Christian? Do they note that about you? Does that stand out about you and your character to others? Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 that we read, it says, "In the same way, let others see your light shining before men." That's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't do it for honor or fame or to gain someone's favor, something like that. Jesus did it because he genuinely cared about others. That genuineness, you can't replace that with some fake words. Oh, yeah, I care about that person. Oh, yeah, I want them to know the gospel. What have you actually done to show them you care? What have you actually done to teach that person that you know what Jesus wants them to do? What action steps are you going to take this week to share the gospel with them? What actions are you going to take this week to show compassion on that soul that's lost, to help that person in need, to show kindness to that person that's mean and cruel, that you still love them and that Jesus loves them? What are you going to do this week about it? Jesus would do something, and he always did. Does sharing the character of Jesus come as easy to you as breathing? You know, it doesn't take much thought or effort to breathe, does it? It just comes naturally. When I think about breathing, I don't really have to make any effort. It just comes to me naturally, as all of you. Does sharing Jesus and his love come that naturally to you? Is it in your nature to share the love and the teachings of Christ? It should, just like breathing. You probably shouldn't even have to think too much about it. It just comes naturally. It comes automatically to a Christian. We become the habits we purposely put in our lives. Make it a habit today to share Jesus, share his love, share his compassion, show kindness. Show that type of devotion to Jesus that people note and make note of. You know that person, Kyle, he's just such a great guy. What makes him so joyful all the time? What makes him such a loving person? Kyle, I'm just picking on you. What is it about Kyle that's just so different? People want and are attracted to people that follow Christ, that have that joy and that love and that compassion. They just are attracted to friendly people. They're just attracted to kind, tender-hearted people that are genuine and keep their word, do what they say they're going to do, and follow through with that love and that compassion. I love Kyle. Kyle, I hope you love me. I love to pick on Kyle, and hopefully he knows that. But what a great example men like Glendon, men in this congregation, and women that serve the Lord faithfully, that we can look to their example. We see all kinds of characters in the Bible, and I'm just picking on a few. I'm not trying to name everybody here, of course not. But we could name character after character after character in the Bible and say, I want to be like that person. Why? Because they're authentic. They're genuine. Their faith is real. They believe it to the point of death, many of them. They followed Christ. They were faithful even to the point of death. They loved Jesus so much. And they wanted to share Jesus with passion and zeal. And I'm asking you today, take that passion, take that zeal with you from this place to remain authentic and genuine in your faith. That love for Christ should overshadow everything else in your life. That zeal and that passion to follow him should trump everything else. I'm not saying you have to work. Yes, of course, we have responsibilities. Yes, you have to go to school. Yes, you have to do what God wants you to do. But that love and that zeal never stopped Paul from making tents. But it did come from him, from within. And he wrote letters and he prayed fervently. And he cared and had so much passion and zeal for Christ, everybody around Paul knew he was a Christian because of his authenticity, genuine and real faith. If you're not like that, it's time to renew your authenticity. It's time to rekindle that zeal, that passion to serve Christ within you. Light of the world, don't hide it under a basket. Let men see your good works and your authenticity of your faith. If you have sin in your life and you want to make it right this morning, you can come forward here in just a moment as we sing. You can confess your sin. We can pray for you for forgiveness. If you're not a Christian, why not become a Christian this morning? Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, "For everyone who has been baptized has put on Christ." Why not start your journey with Christ today by becoming a Christian and be baptized? If you're in any way subject to the gospel call, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.